आपको.
अमेरिका विच क्लेम्स टू बी अ चैंपियन ऑफ ह्यूमन राइट्स, व्हाई डज इट टर्न अ ब्लाइंड आई टू गाजा? Men, women, and children are being slaughtered every day with U.S. weapons in the hands of Israel.
Protesters highlighted the humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza, where men, women, and children remain trapped under the siege with no access to food, medicine, or shelter.
Women are being killed by Israel, children are being killed by Israel, but no one is there to speak for them. We all know that Israel is international terrorist.
Israel ek ghasib riyasat hai.
Israel is an occupying regime and fomenting terrorism. It bombs schools, hospitals, and refugee camps. Any country that supports such brutality is supporting terrorism itself.
Many called for boycotting American and Israeli products, saying economic resistance was their way to support Palestine.
As Israeli attacks continue in Gaza, protests are spreading worldwide with calls for an end to the genocide and urgent aid for millions trapped under siege. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
...2025 on its final day in Tehran, as Iran's largest trade fair for electronics, computers and e-commerce, the 28th edition of the exhibition has over the past 4 days hosted local and international companies, turning Tehran into a hub for digital dialogue and innovation.
This is our first participation at Elecomp. As a smart display manufacturer, we received strong interest in both home and automotive devices. We look forward to returning to Iran and are already planning marketing and customer follow-ups.
Our team is proud to take part in Elecomp for the first time. We have come to Iran to showcase our products and services, aiming to meet the needs of this growing market.
Artificial intelligence has also taken center stage this year. From smart platforms to data solutions, many companies present their AI-driven products and services.
Our company, active in the IT industry, has recently focused on AI PC, with our latest product being an AI camera. At Elecomp, we also met Arab companies, and discussions began on future collaborations.
For participants, Elecomp is more than an exhibition. It's a space to introduce new products, connect with international investors, and exchange experiences within the wider tech community.
At Elecomp, we showcase our latest data center products, including power panels and monitoring systems. The exhibition was a valuable chance to exchange ideas, meet new customers, and connect with both local and international companies. Connections we look forward to developing future.
We offer gaming accessories, and our main audience is Gen Z and those active in the gaming community. We welcomed visitors from different countries, and after the exhibition we hope to expand our connections and exchange more experiences.
Elecomp 2025 has underscored the momentum of Iran's digital sector, setting the stage for new collaborations and innovation in the tech industry.
Elecomp 2025 in Tehran brought together inventors, startups and innovators, highlighting Iran's expanding tech market and its growing role in the global digital economy. Farzan Anshouri, Tehran.
In the courtyards of Tehran's Glass Garden Museum, stories of courage and endurance echo once more. The Generation of Resistance ceremony has brought together families of political prisoners martyred before the revolution, many of whom endured torture, exile, and loss, yet upheld the vision of an independent Islamic Republic.
After being tortured many times by the Pahlavi regime, my husband was sentenced to death by firing squad. They didn't even give us his body to bury, and to this day, we still don't know where he is. That's how fearful they were of the ideas and beliefs held by him and his fellow prisoners. I was also arrested with him for our activities against the regime. It's important for future generations to know our independence did not come easily.
Attendees heard tributes from officials honoring martyrs' contributions across decades, from resisting Pahlavi oppression to defending Iran in the imposed 8-year war.
My late husband endured brutal torture, to the point they had to take him to hospital. He fell into a coma from the intense abuse, and was left paralyzed. But he never gave in to the pressure. He was a brave man, and I am proud of him.
I was one of the founders of the Students' Islamic Association in Stockholm. When I realized I should return to help the political movement for an Islamic Republic, I was sentenced to 12 years in prison for my activism. The younger generation must know the Islamic Republic did not come easily, and we must protect it.
The ceremony also unveiled a memorial dedicated to 66 martyrs, political prisoners who perished under torture, in targeted assassinations, or on the front lines of the Holy Defense.
The resistance of our martyrs is the reason we have independence and freedom today. Their stories of sacrifice should be taught in school textbooks, so children grow up knowing what was given for their future.
For the mothers, sisters, and former comrades who took part in the ceremony, this remembrance is more than history. It is a living pledge to continue the path of sacrifice.
Martyrdom is intertwined in Iranian culture, and this occasion has provided an opportunity to honor martyrs and the values they sacrificed their lives for. Tehran.
The Israeli military offensive dubbed Iron Wall, which began in the Jenin refugee camp, has now entered its 258th day. The regime forces have carried out repeated incursions, demolitions, and large-scale arrests ever since, leaving civilians to bear the brunt of the violence. Local and international organizations report that at least 100 Palestinians have been killed since the beginning of the campaign.
Life as a displaced person is incredibly hard. Every day feels empty and unfair. Nothing can balance the hardships we face. But my wife has been my strength throughout with her love, patience, and support. She even sacrificed her own possessions to help us survive and work together side by side. I don't know where I would be without her. She gives me hope, courage, and the will to keep moving forward. Our love is the only thing that makes life bearable in these times, and I'm endlessly grateful for her presence in my life.
Beyond the human toll, the scale of destruction is staggering. More than 5,220 homes and buildings have been demolished, including residential units, shops, and public infrastructure. The damage has forced thousands of families into an already dire humanitarian situation, with many unable to return to their neighborhoods.
I miss the normalcy of life, waking up to familiar sounds, the smell of fresh bread from the bakery, children playing in the streets. I miss my garden, my small courtyard, the evening spent with family and neighbors. Here, there's nothing like that. Every day is the same, long, empty, and full of waiting. I dream that one day I can return home, even for a little while, just to feel the air there, walk in the streets, see my family's belongings.
I've been displaced since the very beginning of the invasion. My home is just a few meters away, but I can't reach it. I see it from a distance every day, and it's heartbreaking. Everything I built, all my memories are gone. Life has stopped. There's no work, no school for the children, nothing normal anymore. We live in fear and uncertainty. Every night is full of anxiety. It's like we don't exist, trapped between what was and what might be.
The continued displacement of around 50,000 Palestinians highlights the growing crisis. Families are scattered across temporary shelters, relatives' homes, and overcrowded facilities, with limited access to health care, clean water, and basic supplies. The humanitarian toll is deepening as the operation prolongs.
The West Bank continues to face severe devastation under Israel's Iron Wall operation. Communities are shattered, homes demolished, and thousands of families forced to flee as the humanitarian crisis deepens. Tiba Asi, occupied Jenin.
Doctors for Palestine, bikers for Palestine, and people from all walks of life took to the streets of Germany in some of the largest demonstrations against Israeli genocide in Gaza since the Al-Aqsa flood operation in 2023. 20,000 people, some organizers say even 30,000, joined the protest march in Düsseldorf, which was organized by Arab and Muslim communities.
It didn't start on October 7. The genocide started in 1948. We will never stop to resist it. No matter what the police does here in Germany, we will never stop supporting Palestine until it's free.
The demonstration was spearheaded by a group of over 50 activists on motorbikes from the group Bikers for Palestine. Speakers from various pro-Palestine campaign groups addressed the protest.
We lit the torch of freedom with Gaza. Following the freedom of Palestine, we will carry it further to wherever oppression exists. In Sudan, Yemen, Congo, everywhere where people are fighting for freedom, and also here in Germany.
Speakers criticized the ongoing German support for Israel, including the continued arms trade and the signing of a new trade agreement on Friday, as well as the repression of Palestine solidarity activism in the country.
Because my whole heart, my whole brain, my whole being, as my whole existence is for Palestine, and we really have to free this beautiful country, this beautiful people, and we have to stop this genocide.
Speakers and participants also expressed their support for Lebanon, Yemen and Iran against the Israeli aggression.
I'm here to make a statement for Palestine, but also for Lebanon. A year ago, much Lebanese blood was shed. Lebanon lost a precious treasure on September 27th with the assassination of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah and the brutal pager attack. They accepted everything and supported Palestine. When we say free Palestine, we also mean Lebanon, Yemen, and Iran.
It is
a tsunami of fascism and hatred sweeping across Gaza, and it didn't stop in Germany. The repression and oppression frighten me. The long-prepared hatred of Muslims in Germany frightens me. Zionism will fall because we are fighting it, and we're millions.
Two separate demonstrations were also held in the capital, Berlin, which attracted up to 100,000 participants. At the smaller protests in Berlin, several arrests were made.
Tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people march in solidarity with Palestine across Germany this weekend. Pressure is mounting on Friedrich Merz and his government to recognize the state of Palestine. Another mass demonstration against the ongoing Israeli genocide in Gaza and the wars in Eastern Europe will be held in Berlin on Friday. Dieter Reinisch, Düsseldorf.
Addressing crowds of tens of thousands of Hezbollah supporters in the Lebanese capital, Beirut, as well in the cities of Baalbek and Tyre, Sheikh Naim Qassem, the Secretary General of Hezbollah, stressed that the Israeli regime failed in achieving its goals in last year's war, while the resistance remained intact.
Israel, with the unconditional support of the U.S. and Europe, aimed to annihilate the resistance to impose greater Israel on the region. However, the enemy failed to break Hezbollah, not through assassinations, not through warfare, and not through politics.
Sheikh Qassem underlined the duty of the Lebanese government to put a stop to all the Israeli violations since the declaration of a ceasefire, while also uncovering that the resistance has recuperated. The people of the resistance, he stressed, are unwavering. This was reflected in the words of the people who attended the commemoration.
We lost our leader, Sayyid Hassan, and that's a wound in our heart, but this has given us more determination and strength. If the resistance ended with the martyrdom of Sayyid Hassan, then faith would have ended with Karbala. We are stronger than they think.
The resistance is our heart and soul. We can never forsake it until the day we die. God willing, we will retaliate for the assassination of Sayyid Hassan and all the martyrs who left us.
I accepted my only son as martyr for the sake of this just cause. Every time a martyr falls, this makes us stronger and is in itself a victory. We are not concerned with what our enemies say. We will stay on Sayyid Hassan's path.
High-ranking officials from various countries, including Iran, attended the martyrdom anniversary of Sayyid Nasrallah and Sayyid Hashem Safiyyuddin, despite Israeli and U.S. threats. Israel had launched a full-scale aggression on Lebanon in September of 2024. On September 27th, it launched over 80 tons of bunker buster missiles, annihilating an entire neighborhood to assassinate Sayed Nasrallah and accompanying resistance commanders. Israeli assassinations of individuals continue today, even within civilian grounds.
1 year on, Hezbollah seems to have transformed the martyrdom anniversary of Sayed Hassan Nasrallah and Sayed Hashem Safiyuddin, along with a line of resistance commanders, into a new phase of mobilization. Apart from the military, the popular support is unprecedented. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
Thank you. This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, the disenfranchised. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to A to Z here on Iron Bridge Radio with me, Sister Zainab. And so the disenfranchised, so this is a particular sort of topic where, you know, we need to be concerned just not just with ourselves. Maybe we have, you know, maybe we have quite comfortable lives, some of us. And obviously maybe the tendency is that, you know, we forget what it's like for other people who do not live our blessed lives. And many of our lives really are quite blessed because maybe, you know, we forget that not everyone has, let's say, a suitable shelter such as a comfortable house or apartment to live in. Maybe not everyone has a job. Maybe not everyone has a sort of position, rank, a job in life where they actually have, let's say, some sort of status or recognition by other people. So I'm going to explain this a little bit more. And obviously, as Muslims, it's really important for us that we pay attention to those who are obviously the poor, the needy, those who, in a sense, do not have a voice of their own, because we then need to sort of be a voice for them, in a sense, and a sort of fight for their rights and help them so that they do have a voice and so that they are no longer disenfranchised. And I'll just mention quickly the something from life of actually one of our martyrs of service, the former president of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Dr. Shahid Raisi, who, for example, was always very concerned with the prisoners. Typically, the people who are very disenfranchised because, you know, they're locked away basically. And what do we know? What do we know of their needs? We don't see them. We don't hear them. You know, they're totally separate from the rest of the public, of course. And so once I'll just explain this a bit more. Welcome back to Age Said here on Iron Bridge Radio with me, Sister Zainab. And I'm just mentioning an example from actually one of the martyrs of service, not one of the martyrs for the whole defense for right now. And that's Shahid Raisi, former president of the Islamic Republic of Iran, who was visiting prisoners. And one of the prisoners just came up to him with a particular issue. And I think, Shahid Raisi's office followed it up, and I think people were really surprised the way the office followed it up. And obviously this is just an example of being there for people who maybe don't have anyone else to approach, who have their own struggles in life, their own issues. And, you know, obviously the prisoner population, this is a very specific group of people. And obviously not everyone has access to them. So obviously social workers would be maybe people who have more access to them, who sort of work outside the prison than go into the prison and speak with the prisoners. But, you know, there are other groups of people too who are maybe disenfranchised because maybe they, you know, we don't really come into contact with them so much. And it could even be the people who maybe sit on the street, beggars, for example, or people who repair shoes. You know, they'll just sit quietly on the street and repair the shoes for us. And, you know, we probably know nothing about their lives, and maybe we don't really. And because, you know, they don't go to a workplace where we are, because their work is, in a sense, in a public place. But, you know, how much do we interact with them? But again, I have observed people who will stop and speak with them and maybe actually find out their issues. So this is something we can maybe take on board, that we need to there probably are instances in our lives where we can reach out and sort of hear problems of others that maybe aren't our immediate colleagues, aren't our neighbors, aren't our friends, aren't relatives, family members, and where maybe we can then also, if we're actually listening and hearing, maybe there's actually something we can even do to address some of their issues. Essentially, this is just a reminder for all of us, and I look forward to welcoming you to another episode of HZ here on Iron British Radio, and farewell for now. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of A to Z. And for more information, please also visit our website at www.iranradio.ir.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Iran Radio presents some interesting facts about the Holy Quran. The word Bismillah appears 114 times in the Quran. It occurs twice in chapter An-Naml, whereas chapter Tawbah is the only surah which does not begin with Bismillah. Quran believes in life after death, and the Quran teaches us that besides having a body, a human being also has a spirit, a soul. And when a person dies, the physical body vanishes, while the soul remains. We start this hour's lineup with leaders' speech. The program presents a selection of the statements and speeches of the honorable leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei. Then it's time for a spotlight. The program covers the most important events happening in the world today with roundtable analysis and discussion. And our final program this hour is our varied radio productions feature.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with veterans of the Sacred Defense and the resistance field. The meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniyah on September 20th, 2023, inaugurating Sacred Defense Week. What was being defended? The Islamic Revolution, the Islamic Republic, which was the product of defending the Islamic Revolution, and the country's territorial integrity were being defended. That was Saddam's goal. Their target was the revolution. They wanted to suppress this unparalleled, great, important revolution that had taken place in Iran thanks to the sacrifices that had been made by the people. Why do we say it wasn't paralleled? Because it was a phenomenon that had not taken place before in major revolutions. It was democratic, it was religious, it was authentic, it was not dependent. It was related to a nation. It was by the people. It was not like coups, revolutions by political parties or things of that sort. This revolution was able to remove the dependent corrupt system that was ruling the country and establish a new system and a new voice in its place, the Islamic Republic. Republic means democracy. Islamic means religion. Religious democracy was a new term in the world. We have had religious governments throughout history, but there was no talk of democracy in them. We have had democratic governments, real or fictitious, but there was no talk of religion in them. Never before had there been a government or a system in which religion and this world and the hereafter and people and God were all involved and were the builders of it. But such a thing happened, and they wanted to crush it, overcome it, and eliminate the Islamic Republic. This was their target, and this has remained their target up until today. They come up with all different types of excuses, but as to those who are against the Islamic Republic, are opposing it, and are hostile toward it, their problem is with the Islamic Republic. Other marginal issues are of less importance. This is their main issue, and it was back then as well. Of course, there was a wicked, greedy person such as Saddam in the midst of this, who was far removed from any aspect of human decency. He had another goal as well, which was to destroy the Islamic Republic, to invade and assault the country's territorial integrity, to take the oil-rich regions of the country, and to divide the country. These were his goals. But the other parties didn't care much about these things. Their main concern was that, the Islamic Republic.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me.
Fly with it. a new way. The feeling that's so deep inside, the faith in our hearts will always rise.
Sound from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Try and try again could be the slogan of the Western hegemonic front, with its goal of attempting to pressure and overthrow the Islamic Republic of Iran. Now, the latest move is the initiation of the snapback mechanism of the JCPOA against Iran by the three European signatories of the deal. Preventing Iran's progress and weakening the country have been the goals of several Western countries since the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979. But what does it mean this time around? Stay with us as we take a look at all of this on this Spotlight.
At midnight on Sunday, what Europeans claim to be the reinstatement of UN sanctions on Iran came into effect. The European trio, namely Britain, France, and Germany, initiated the process last month by activating the snapback mechanism of the 2015 nuclear deal, claiming that Tehran had failed to uphold its nuclear commitments. But Iran argues the opposite, that it was the Europeans themselves who violated the 2015 nuclear deal, known as the JCPOA, which was endorsed by UN Security Council Resolution 2231. In a statement released by Iran's foreign ministry, Tehran has rejected the snapback as both illegal and unjustified.
Iran's foreign ministry considers the actions of the European Three and the United States in misusing the JCPOA and UN Security Council Resolution 2231 as illegal and unjustified. It stresses that restrictions under that resolution must end by October 18, 2025. The ministry says the E3, under U.S. pressure, triggered the snapback despite failing to meet JCPOA commitments. Iran adds that over for years it offered proposals for full implementation of the nuclear deal or a new understanding, but all failed due to the lack of good faith by the E3 and the U.S.
Iran's parliament speaker, Mohammad Bagheer Ghalibaf, has also warned that any country taking action based on these illegal UN resolutions will face consequences.
The Islamic Republic of Iran considers the restoration of the UN sanctions as illegal. If any country wants to take action against Iran based on these illegal resolutions, it will face serious reciprocal action from Iran.
Russia and China have also issued a joint statement rejecting the snapback as illegitimate.
The two countries said the reinstatement of UN sanctions against the Islamic Republic is illegal and invalid. Moscow and Beijing said they will not comply with or abide by the new sanctions. They also vowed to continue their business dealings with Tehran as usual regardless of the embargoes.
Despite years of broken promises, Tehran says the door to diplomacy remains open. But many Iranians remain skeptical, doubting that engagement with the West can yield real benefits.
Negotiations are useless. We were busy with the negotiations when they attacked. They are not trustworthy at all. The deals you make with them, their negotiations, none of them can be relied on.
And as sanctions return, the stakes extend far beyond Iran. Analysts warn that the credibility of the UN Security Council itself is on the line, sanctioning a country that remains a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, while failing in the same month to adopt a ceasefire resolution on Gaza under relentless attack by a nuclear-armed regime. A stark reminder that the world's highest body for peace and security faces an unprecedented crisis of legitimacy.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. Sabshath, author and commentator out of Belfast. And Syed Mohsen Abbas, journalist and political commentator out of London. A welcome, both of you, to the program. Let's start this off in Belfast with Saab. I mean, Saab, the snapback mechanism or the United Nations Security Council Resolution 2231 says that Iran should not undertake any activity concerning its ballistic missiles. No test, no development. Why would Iran abide by such a resolution, especially after just experiencing all of NATO and Israel waging war against it?
Hello to you and to your guests and audience. We know the snapback mechanism are included within the nuclear agreement framework, and that allows certain UN sanctions to be reimposed if Iran proved was non-compliant. This non-compliance should be presented to the by JCPOA partner. Here, let's see even. The EU Troika, which is two of it, the French and the British in the Security Council, they are not part of the JCPOA anymore, since they demanded what Trump wanted them to extract from Iran at the time, to get zero enrichment of uranium. That flies in the face of the 2015 JCPOA, which has permitted Iran to enrich uranium I think, the 3.75%. And while Iran, as signatory to the NPT, should enjoy the enrichment rights and protection of its nuclear sites, we've seen when the U.S. and the Zionist entity attacked Iran while engaging the Americans with Iran in six rounds of negotiation, and they cheated, and the United States of America attacked. The Troika here, the EU, they didn't even condemn these attacks on Iran. Moreover, they were demanding Iran to allow Grossi and his team to inspect. Grossi, who we know is responsible for many deaths among Iranian scientists, since the list of Iranian scientists were found, the Zionist entity have, who give it to them, God knows. And at the same time, we understand as well after that in Cairo and Istanbul, is in Cairo one, there was agreed an IAEA kind of agreement, which Grossi said they finalized all the issues, and his team is going to Tehran. What happened then is what is Trump decided to ignore all the international norms again, as he did in 2018, and to impose, he tried to impose his will in the United States of America on Iran, to deny it its own civil nuclear program, to dismantle it in totally. This is what the Americans want, since this is what Netanyahu wants.
Okay. All right, well, Syed Mohsen, I mean, your perspective about the snapback, and let's start a little bit before that. In your opinion, did Iran gain anything by signing the JCPOA?
Nothing. The Americans never, ever lifted sanctions. The Europeans never lifted sanctions. In fact, the Americans under Trump, of course, went into an even heavier set of full-spectrum sanctions and have been continuing to increase those incrementally since they pulled out. They walked out of this JCPOA agreement, which made it effectively defunct and dead from that point. The reality is that I think Iran has been trying to offset at least the full set of sanctions which the UN had imposed, which I think mean there's a greater pressure on military arsenal and equipment, etc., and it makes it a little bit more difficult, but not that much more. The full set sanctions that Trump has literally overseen during his two terms so far have meant that Iran are completely hemmed in by those sanctions, and they've only been able to, I guess, keep a lifeline going with, one, the resistance economy itself, two, the support of the Iranian public, and of course, three, China and the likes of Russia, who've still been able to do deals and are beginning to do more deals without the use of the dollar. And, of course, Russia has just signed a huge $25 billion contract with Iran, just as China had done before it. So there is still that hope that the lifeline that the Eurasian Axis gives Iran could allow it to weather these sanctions and these terrorist acts. They're acts of economic terrorism. This is what Trump is doing. This is what the Europeans are doing, because it's part of a full-spectrum attack on Iran, both using, they'll use cyber web technology, they will use grassroots insurgencies, they will use terrorists within Iran, as they did during the 12-day war recently. They will use insurgencies from outside Iran. Some of the groups that are lined up on the borders of Iran are also preparing for attacks, no doubt. Israel itself has got the bit between its teeth. It thinks that this kind of triumphalism that they've whipped up amongst the Western Zionists, that somehow they can destroy Iran through forever war and through the latest 12-day war which they painted as a victory for themselves, saying that they weakened the defense mechanisms of Iran and they can finish the job in another track. It's quite delusional, I think. And of course, that delusion you can't change, because the establishments here in the West, this Troika, America, they're basically Zionists. They're absolutely infiltrated by Zionists, and the Zionists control the foreign policies of Britain, the West, and generally, of course, America.
Right, right. Well, what do you make of the UN Security Council's vote on not to delay for six more months of implementing the snapback sanctions while talks take place?
It's exactly as my friend Sayed was saying, and the president of Iran, when he said, Bazirgan, the Americans want us to hand over all our enriched uranium, and in return they give us only 3 months. This is unacceptable, as he said. Where is the denial of the 6 months by United Nations Security Council? The America want to start to impose heavy blows at Iran, but we can understand the Iranian economy when Bazirgan himself, he said, if we have to choose between America's illogical demands and the snapback mechanism, our choice as Iranian will be the snapback mechanism. A prospect of economic impact by this reimposing UN sanctions will be driven merely by psychological responses rather than by immediate and concrete economical impact. The UN Security Council resolution holds little or even insignificant kind of effect compared to what my friend was alluding to, the U.S. sanctions imposed by Trump and his Western allies after he abandoned himself in 2018, the JCPOA, with a tweet showing insult to the international community. We have to understand here that the snapback primary targets a dual-use nuclear and missile-related kind of activities, and it does not plainly reimpose widespread economic sanctions on oil exports or banking or a trade. Most of these sectors already been sanctioned before by the U.S. and the Europeans. From 2017, even before that, as well Sayed said, they never lifted their sanction. In reality, that makes the impact of the snapback mechanism less severe, and to a lot of people, what they expecting is going to affect the economic sectors. It's only fears
right.
That will. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, Sayed Mohsen, I mean, let's talk about the overall hypocrisy of this. I mean, while the Zionist regime continues with his genocide and the use of illegal weapons in Gaza and have possession of nuclear weapons, the so-called international community does nothing to the regime but focuses on Iran, which has regularly been involved in negotiations over its peaceful nuclear program and has abided by its commitments.
Israel is not affected or a member of the Nuclear Proliferation Treaty. That's a crime, an ab- absolute global crime. Israel has nuclear weapons, up to 400 at the least, from our understanding, and of course has been exposed for that by the Times in England long ago. Vanunu and all of that revelation was clear to the whole world. Yet here we have a United Nations and a world UNGA basically ignoring Israel and its threat to the entire region and indeed the entire world with this arsenal of nuclear weapons which goes uninspected, unregulated, unchecked and unacknowledged. And the reason the Americans don't acknowledge it is because the minute they acknowledge that the Israelis actually have weapons formally, that would mean that the AIEA would be officially obliged to then rein Israel in. And of course, they would also have to join the non-proliferation treaty. So there's this rather pathetic, hypocritical game which the Americans have got going, which the whole world knows about, and yet can't seem to do anything about it. This is what bothers me about the current international structures, that they seem to quickly impose sanctions on Russia and Iran. They can quickly impose all sorts of other sanctions on governments that they, the Americans, dictate to them need to be, if you like, punished. Yet when it comes to Israel, there's absolutely nothing that can be done. However, one word of hope is that the Colombian leader just recently has begun to trigger a mechanism within the UN, which will hopefully try to at least bring Israel to book through the right. Possibility of a vote amongst the general UN body to actually trigger some sort of military intervention inside Palestine and Gaza. Right. That doesn't stop their attacks on Iran. It is really just these hawks who think they can engineer regime change inside Iran. They're absolutely hell-bent. They're desperate. They think that's their last chance. Because what will happen is, even if they do that, Marzia, what will happen in Iran? You'll get more power going to the IRGC. They'll have to step in and take even more control, which is against whatever these Zionists want. And the convulsive changes that might take place in their dreams would simply mean the nation would slide into an even more anti-US imperialism state. So they're going to
indeed. Stay with me, Said Mohsen. Stay with me. Sorry to interrupt you. But, Saab, I mean, it was the United States which originally left the JCPOA and pressured the Europeans not to abide by it. But at the same time, it's Tehran that is being hit with more sanctions. I mean, doesn't this just highlight the level of hypocrisy of this so-called international rules-based system?
We understand that the hypocrisy exists before even the nuclear JCPOA program. It started with Iran from 1979 with the Iranian Revolution, since the United States of America deployed after the coup on Mossadegh in 1953, Shah of Iran, to be the policeman of the region and to loot the wealth of Iran, denying the Iranian people their own wealth, and to export that was to the British and then to the Americans. But since the Iranian Revolution, America is doing its best with all the Western alliance to collapse Iran, not even to reach the stage of regime change, to divide Iran to multi-ethnic kind of entities. So divide and conquer, divide and rule, easier to control and suck the wealth. Since the Iranian resilience stemmed from the revolution, and after even amid sanctions, they were evolving and developing their educational and scientific, industrial and commercial capabilities, which is translated to a strong, diverse, developed industry and sectors of scientific or industrial sectors. Iran become from renter economy to non-renter economy. It depends on diverse kind of industries, agriculture, commerce, and innovative industries, which make it vital for the region and the global industry, global economy. So Iran, with that kind of links to global trade blocks, which we see in Asia or in the BRICS or in the make a lot of countries And a lot of these multilateral trade blocs look at Iran with genius kind of global, geopolitical position needed by the region, needed by India, needed by Pakistan, needed by Russia, needed by China. And this is hence we hear the message from the Chinese and the Russian and the United Nations when they said this is illegal sanctions.
Okay. Stay with me on that because I want to pick up right there with Syed Mohsen about the illegality of what Russia and China they are saying about the snapback mechanism. Let's talk about the role you see Russia and China playing in helping Iran offset this and also the realization perhaps by Moscow and Beijing that what is happening to Iran could also happen to them that would make them even more adamant about supporting Iran in this.
Russia and China are very well aware that in a way China is next, but Russia is already on the rack. The Americans have basically initiated the war in Ukraine, whatever they want, cover they want to put on it. They're the ones who encroached on Russian territory. So the Russians are already under sanctions, nearly as many as Iran. They're under attack directly through Ukraine and the war they've opened up there. They have also, been sanctioned so that their economies and the de-dollarization processes and the BRICS process and the Eurasian Access process is broken. America is trying to cut off all trade routes that the Russians are trying to build up. So it's in the Russians' interest to create even more stronger alliances with Iran. And with this big deal, one hopes that the $25 billion deal is another rapid step to that. The cooperation between Russia and Iran in terms of technology, in terms of satellites, in terms of creating alternatives to anything that relies on America is absolutely vital. And I think that the Eurasian Axis needs to develop these systems and alternatives even more rapidly. And the reality is that a dying American empire, of course, is collapsing from within. You can see the civil crisis within America. You can see the civil crisis within Israel. So this is a race against time, even from them. Powerful as they are, the fact is there are fault lines and cracks appearing in the empire. And Iran, they need to, of course, destroy Iran as quickly as possible, and the Chinese ideally as well, if they can. That's in their heads, that they need to do that militarily is definitely on the agenda. And to suck the world into a global war where the economy collapses is also seems to be very much